a warm welcome back to the Sweet Spot here on the Racing Post, your go-to weekly golf tipping show. It's Jack Reeve and Steve Palmer back this week to guide you through proceedings. Two very exciting tournaments to look forward to and one to look back on. Steve, let's start here though. You were off last week, a well-deserved break. What did you get up to? Good week?
Well, yeah, I needed a week off after the previous week. I mean, Weymouth got knocked out of the FA Cup. Yeah, the last time I was on the Sweet Spot, life was so full of promise. You know, Weymouth were going to win the FA Cup. The golf was going really well. And then Weymouth got knocked out on penalties against Yeovil. The Mallorca Open went terribly. All three of our players got on the wrong side of a big, significant draw bias. All were essentially hopeless. And then in the Zozo Championship, three players tied for seventh place, which was no good to me. So, yeah, Keegan Bradley made a six up the 72nd hole to drop from fourth to seventh. Yeah, so last week, yeah, just getting over that and trying to get healthy again. As you can see, I still haven't managed to crack this chest infection. The cure for a chest infection is rest. But in a house with a two-year-old and a six-year-old, you don't get rest in half-term week. So, I'm still struggling. But, yeah, just trying to stay positive.
Well, it feels as if your health issues were coupled with Weymouth's penalty issues. Did they come at the same time?
Yeah, I think ever since that trip to Yeovil for the original fixture, I've been ill. And I keep doing my COVID tests and I haven't got that, but I've got a chest infection that I can't seem to rid myself of. But I've just had a very significant glug of Cavodier before we started, as you well know.
Yeah, straight from the bottle, Steve. I mean, usually people are pouring it either into a spoon or something. Yeah, I mean, the technique that I witnessed off air was something to behold.
I'm addicted to this stuff now. I mean, it's a brilliant advert, Cavodier, isn't it? And I've got a bumper pack there. Just keep glugging away at that. So hopefully that gets for a successful Sweet Spot.
Let's talk about the Bermuda Championship last week. I know you're off. Did you watch any of it?
Yeah. I watched a bit of it. But yeah, I don't get involved in my holidays. I like to completely detach myself, certainly before the event. But I just thought it was very interesting how well Lucas Herbert played in the wind. You know, he's a fantastic player in the wind. It was really windy last week. And I know Bruce was getting upset on the last Sweet Spot I did about the cliche of Spanish golfers. You know, Spanish golfers have all got magnificent short games. Obviously, that one is not true. But there is another one that is true, which is that, you know, Australian golfers all seem to play really well in the wind, don't they? All fantastic wind players. And Lucas Herbert in particular, you know, he was relishing those conditions. You know, he's won in Dubai, he's won in Ireland, and now he's won in Bermuda. Not got the prettiest swing in the world. There are some technical imperfections in there, but he seems, you know, bundles of character and relishes tough conditions. So, all credit to him. Got cards on both sides of the Atlantic now.
Absolutely. It was a strange tournament, wasn't it? I mean, Joe Champion, your colleague, was on here last week, and he was saying they were struggling to even get enough players in the field. It was a weak field last week.
Yeah, some vaccination issues. Yeah. Lucas Herbert took full advantage of that weakened field, and as I say, I think his greatest strength is his character, and his ability to play in the wind. So keep an eye on Lucas Herbert in the wind going forward. And I thought Davis Riley was the other eye catcher. You know, Davis Riley finished seventh last week on a course, you know, not particularly suitable course that for him. Davis Riley, really, really promising player. I think he'll go from strength to strength after that one.
There we go. Davis Riley, get them in your trackers. A really exciting tournament on the PGA Tour this week. We have got the Worldwide Technology Championship at Mayakoba. But my money is simply saying that. Justin Thomas is your tournament favourite at 14-1. Abraham Anser, 18-1. Victor Hovland, the same price. Tony Finau, 28. Horschel, 30. Scheffler, 30. Tyrrell Hatton, 33s. Bigger the rest. Steve, after your sip of your carbonated drink, I want you to say that tournament in full again, just for my entertainment, and then talk to us about the course.
Yeah, you were practicing that one while I was coughing Cavonier beforehand, weren't you? Worldwide Technology Championship at Mayakoba. I mean, it's a late sponsor. It didn't have a sponsor this tournament not that long ago. Worldwide Technology have come to the rescue, whoever they are. What was your second question? What's the course like?
What's the course like? What can we look forward to?
Yeah, it's the beautiful El Camaleon at Playa del Carmen, Mexico. 7,017 yards, so a short course, par 71. It's hosted since 2007. Fiddly little course, lots of serious trouble spots, but if you find the fairways, you can score well here. Something around 20 under par will be winning this week. You need 20 under par to win this week, and it'll be somebody driving the ball straight. The honors board is full of accurate drivers.
Well, that's exciting, isn't it? Because often we're going into these tournaments, certainly in America, where it's just like hit it as far as you can and you'll probably find it and then you can scramble about. So the fact that fairway finding is rewarded this week is a positive.
Yeah, your Russell Knoxes, your Graham McDowells, they all get excited this week.
Okay, how many tips?
Three.
Three. I thought you were going to launch into a four and I was feeling incredibly sorry for you.
No. I haven't restricted it to three because I can't pull very well. Yeah, I genuinely only have three fancies.
Your staking plan is guided by your sore throat. It's either three or five tips this week. Let's get your headline selection.
Number one is Abraham Anser at 20-1. He was teeing up in the Mayakoba as a PGA Tour champion for the first time. In the past, he's turned up for this seeking his PGA Tour breakthrough. So he's had that extra layer of pressure. Added to the fact he's the home hero, he's the fans' favourite, the weight of expectations always there in Mexico for Abraham Anser. Now he swaggers in having won the WGC St Jude Invitational in August. Yeah, that was a really gutsy playoff victory in top-class company. Yeah, we know this lad has got balls of steel. He showed it in the President's Cup. He was a massively unlucky loser in several PGA Tour events before his breakthrough. You know, he came up against, you know, played really well in contention and just someone else played fantastically. apologies. El Camaleon sets up wonderfully for Abraham Anser. It suits precise operators like him. His form figures from his last four starts in this event are rock solid. 9, 21, 8, 12. This time, as I say, goes as a tour champion. I think he's the man to beat. He's been well gambled already. He's been the gamble of the week. He opened up easy to back at 25-1. Not much 20-1 left now. I do apologise. I'm going to have another glog of Cavonier.
Yeah, you...
Not Courvoisier, by the way. A lot of people might assume I've got Courvoisier. This is Cavonier, not to be confused with Courvoisier.
Yeah, for those listening on Spotify, etc., I will describe Steve is currently glugging his bottle of medicinal throat medicine. Okay, Abraham Anser first up. He's been well backed in. Who's the second?
Next best is Billy Horschel at 30-1. Another precise golfer. Doesn't make many serious errors from tee to green. He made his Mayakoba debut in 2011. He'd missed six cuts in a row prior to that event. He was outside the world's top 1,000 in the world ranking. He'd missed four cuts in a row after the event, but in between those 10 missed cuts, he finished 13th in the Mayakoba. So that was an early clue that this course is made for him. He's not been a regular Mayakoba visitor since. His last three Mayakoba starts, though, 21, 8, 5. Played last year and carded weekend rounds of 65 and 64. Since that event, he's won the WGC match play and he's won the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth. Full of form and confidence, up to 20th in the world rankings. I think Horschel is the main danger to Abraham Anser.
I can't think of another player aside from Billy Horschel who has a football-branded tour bag either, because he loves West Ham, doesn't he?
He loves West Ham and he came over to watch West Ham Tottenham. Yeah, he's been doing a bit of jet setting. You know, he's well in with like Mark Noble's, one of his best mates.
Yeah,
he's been playing golf with Mark Noble. Mark Noble's going over to Florida, I think, at the end of the football season to have some swing coaching with Horschel's coach. So yeah, Horschel's just got a passion for life, which I think is fantastic. You know, you go on his Twitter handle, he says, "I love my life." He gets so much out of life, and I think he's going to enjoy this week as well because this El Camaleon is made for him. He's full of beans. And I think he's going to be an Anser Horschel duel.
Excellent. Well, you mentioned Wentworth there. Of course, he won. You've got your Wentworth beanie hat on today. Have you played at Wentworth before?
Oh, yeah. Wentworth regular in the days before it became a billionaire's playground. Yeah. I'll never play there again. But I had some good friends at Wentworth in the past and used to enjoy playing the two courses, the East and the West. But you can't get on there these days unless you're a billionaire. No.
And, well, give it time. Abraham Anser and Billy Horschel, the first two. Who's your final selection?
Final selection, Keegan Bradley at 55-1. We were on Keegan Bradley for the Zozo last time out. Slow start, strong weekend. Would have finished fourth with a par five of that easy, the easiest hole on the course, that 18th hole. And he made a six on it. Yeah, the 77th.
That's a killer,
hole.
Isn't it? I mean, golf betting it is difficult, but you go four whole days and you're in the running, and then it can go all wrong in 5 minutes. I mean, that is a real kick in the teeth.
Yeah, and because he wasn't in contention for actually winning the tournament, they didn't show any of those shots. The first I knew about the six is when he just appears on the leaderboard, having dropped a shot there. So absolute heartbreaker, but we mustn't hold it against him. This is a major champion with his game in good nick. I like the way he was putting in recent weeks. I like the look of his putting stroke. Driving is the key this week, and Bradley can usually be relied upon as a great driver. He was eighth in the on his Mayakoba debut in 2015. I think he looks a big price. Yeah, he could win a fifth PGA Tour title on Sunday. I think he's often underrated in the market, King.
Yeah, Bradley. Under the radar for sure. Okay, that's the Worldwide Technology Championship. We'll go over all of Steve Betts at the end of the show. Let's move on to the European Tour. And I'm really excited about this one. It's the Portugal Masters. Now, my memory isn't great. I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning. But last year's Portugal Masters was rescheduled, wasn't it? And I can remember the exact sweet spot show where you put up the winner. I remember the Sunday, the beer I was drinking, the smell in the air, the sun was gazing down. And I'm hoping for similar things to happen this week. Talk to us about the Portugal Masters, Steve.
Yeah, Gorgeous George. You're referring to Gorgeous George. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, we needed a fillip at that time. I can't remember. Yeah, lockdown, in and out of lockdowns. Yeah, life was going crazy. But yeah, I think Gorgeous George provided a massive fillip for me and you.
He was the thing that held things together in them crazy few months. His ability to just bring calm to the world.
Thank you, George. We'll never forget it. But we're opposing you this week. We respect you this week. We're opposing you. But we're off to the famous Dom Pedro Victoria Golf Course. Vilamoura, one of my favourite places in the world. You must have been in Vilamoura.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it there. My children's favourite place as well. My daughter keeps begging me to take her back to Vilamoura. Hopefully I can raise some funds for that trip this week. 7,191 yards, par 71. Hosted since 2007. Very flat, exposed track. Similar in style to those ones you like in Dubai. You're a regular visitor to Dubai, aren't you? The course is used in the Middle East swing, wide fairways. And like with the Mayakoba, I think something around 20 under par would be needed to win this week. We've got two pretty easy assignments, decent weather forecasts. Oliver Fisher carded a 59 on this track.
Wow.
2018 Portugal Masters, the only 59 in European Tour history. Shows you what you're up against this week. Expect loads of birdies. It's a bomber's track. Fill your boots with big hitters.
Well, you have a glug of water, Steve. I need to give a quick show of the market. Matt Wallace is your favourite this week at 16-1. Laurie Cant, who was runner-up last year in this tournament, 20-1. Thomas Peters, 25-1. Richard Bland, 28-1. Bob McIntyre, 28. Sam Horsfield returns the list at 30s. Gorgeous George, last year's winner, 35-1. Bigger the rest. Steve, how many selections for the Portugal Masters?
Five.
Okay. What's the headline?
Minwoo Lee, 28-1. Minwoo Lee.
Now, do you know the stat with Minwoo Lee? I'm sure you do.
I know everything there is to know about Minwoo Lee. I'm in love with Minwoo Lee.
Telling you know the stats.
Ever since I met Minwoo Lee, I've been in love with him. Podcast regulars know that Minwoo Lee is my love child. And I think the one you're referring to is his connection with Lucas Herbert. I mean, we had an Australian winner last week. Yeah, and they seem to egg each other on. They're a very sort of close-knit bunch, seem to win in streaks. And the relationship between Herbert and Minwoo Lee is particularly interesting. They're similar ages. Herbert won his maiden European Tour title in Dubai. Minwoo Lee won his maiden European Tour title a fortnight later. Then when Herbert won his second European Tour title in Ireland, Minwoo Lee won his second European Tour title a week later. So that trend could easily continue this week. You know, Herbert's just won in Bermuda. Minwoo Lee could win his third main tour title this week. Such a wonderful swing. You know, effortless power. He's got all the shots. He can hit it really high. He can hit it really low. He's got that stinger shot in the wind. Such a versatile golfer. Can perform in any conditions. He won on a wide open Scottish links in July. Then last time out, he finished second in the Andalusia Masters at Valderrama. You know, such contrasting assignments for a 23-year-old. Minwoo Lee is a remarkably well-rounded golfer. The world's his oyster. It's not been easy for the Australian golfers getting around the planet in these COVID times. The Australian COVID rules, notoriously tough. But Minwoo Lee was very clever after Valderrama. He jetted over to Florida. He said, I'm going to go to Florida and practice in Florida. Get him ready for the end of this European Tour season because he knows how important it is. These next few weeks are crucial for him. He's 58th in the world rankings. if he can get inside the top 50 of the world rankings before the end of the year, that gives him access to all the big events in 2022. So Minwoo Lee, honing his game up in Florida, highly motivated for a strong end to the season. He's had a sighter at Don Pedro in 2019. He was outside the world's top 200, outside the world's top 350 at the time. Tied 63rd. Minwoo Lee returns for a second crack at the Don Pedro and destroys it.
Did you say you've met Minwoo Lee, have you?
I haven't met him, no, and I better make it clear he's not my love child. I don't want him to sue me or anything. I'm not his father. All I was saying was, ever since I've watched him swing a golf club,
I've just thought
this man is a potential world number one, you know.
I didn't realise he was that young. I thought he had a few more years in him. It's an important few weeks, isn't it? It's certainly for those looking for next year's European tour card as well. You know, we're going into the end of this season. It could be make or break for a lot of players. And I guess at the other end, you've mentioned there Minwoo Lee looking to break into the top 50. It's an exciting few weeks in terms of that. Minwoo Lee, the headline selection, around 25-1, as always. Shop around for not only best price, but also best place terms. Who's up next, Steve?
You're going to like this one. It's one of your old Dubai driving range buddies, Adlianus.
Oh, can I go? The heartbreak of a few weeks ago, though, Steve. I mean, that really broke me. Really broke me.
Well, yeah, I don't blame him. I mean, I haven't fully recovered. I mean, we were so close to getting over the line in that Spanish Open. I mean, if Rafa Cabrera-Bello hadn't got a free drop on the 72nd hole... Yeah, you
Steve,
might. Well
I'm not ran, an angry ran, person.
Rant away on that. We'll have some more Cavani.
Well, it's one of the worst drops I've ever seen. The fact he not only got relief, he got to drop it in a perfectly sound place out of the thick rough. I'm a fairly calm and composed person. I like to feel in life, but that brings bubbles of anger inside of me. That moment, because I wanted it so bad for Adri that week. But not to worry, you're thinking he's going to go well again this week.
Yeah. I mean, if it wasn't for that free drop, he'd be Spanish Open champion. He ended up losing the playoff. That's the fourth time he has finished second on the European Tour. This week is another excellent breakthrough opportunity. Understandable mental hangover after that Spanish Open. Not been playing great since, but almost a month later, I think he might be ready to rumble again now. He's got the power and the putting stroke to enjoy this birdie fest at the Don Pedro. The Arnoux putting stats this season are absolutely jaw-dropping. You know, he's made a rapid journey from terrible putter to brilliant putter. I think that improvement will result in silverware in the fullness of time. It could happen this week. He's had one sighter at the Don Pedro, like Minwoo Lee, 40th place in 2019. Arnoux was fourth in the Open to Portugal in his Challenge Tour days. I see a Minwoo Adli Arnoux battle.
Excellent. Well, I'll stop talking about Adri after this, but them opening two rounds in that Spanish Open were some of the most entertaining elements of golf I've ever seen. I've never seen someone so wild off the tee and yet continually make birdies with outrageous putts. It was brilliant entertainment. Okay, Minwoo Lee, Adrian Ous, who's the third?
A couple of Andorra-based Frenchmen are the next two. Romain Langasque.
Okay.
Romain Langasque has got his act together in the last few weeks. He was 11th at Valderrama and he was 34th in Mallorca. These are signs of life from a mercurial, moody talent. You know, fantastic amateur, won the 2015 Amateur Championship, 39th in the 2016 Masters as an amateur. He won on the Challenge Tour in 2018, made his European Tour breakthrough in the Wales Open last year. Fallow period since. Yeah, maybe he's not getting on with the pandemic. You know, basically, since COVID arrived, he's been a little bit dodgy, aside from the Wales Open success. But I think he's coming out of it now. And like my top two selections, he's had one previous spin at the Don Pedro, 2017, missed six cuts in a row before the event, missed three cuts in a row after the event, finished 39th at the Don Pedro. The course suits his attacking style. There's been early money for Langasque. I can completely understand it.
Did you describe him as a mercurial, moody talent?
Yeah.
Is that how you describe yourself?
I'd just take the last word out.
And the first as well.
yeah, very good.
Who's the fourth, Steve?
Victor Dubuisson.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, I've called Romain Langasque mercurial. I mean, Victor Dubuisson makes Romain Langasque look like Theresa May in the in the mercurial stakes. You know, strong and stable. He is not. Dubuisson is crazy as a box of frogs. De Vries often enters tournaments and doesn't turn up. You know, he much prefers fishing to golf. He's at his happiest when he's trying to catch a fish. Look at Victor Dubuisson's Instagram page. It just shows all his fish.
Oh, does it?
Pictures of him posing with his fish and with his rod in his hands. And
never understood fishing. One sport I just can't get behind.
Oh, it's just, yeah. I remember when I was at a tourist attraction in Dorset, and this bloke walked past me with one of the best shirts I've ever seen. He had this shirt on in the sunshine with a pair of shorts. It said, "Fishing is life." And I'll never forget. I cracked up when I walked past him. I went, what an assertion.
It wasn't Victor, was it?
Yeah, it didn't look like Victor, no. But yeah, Victor would agree with that. But the point I'm trying to make is you've got to try and catch him right, if you pardon the pun.
Nice.
You need to catch him when he's applying himself to golf. And because he's an incredible golfer. He just doesn't put the effort in. But in the last month, he's put in a really couple of really solid shifts. He was 12th in the Spanish Open, four rounds in the 60s, 20th in the Mallorca Open with every round par or better. So for some reason, Dubuisson has switched on again. Maybe he needs to raise some money for a new fishing boat or something. But for whatever reason, Dubuisson seems to have his game face on. And the Don Pedro is a course that he could just cruise round. We got to respect him. Former Ryder Cup star.
Yeah.
Two-time European Tour champion. WGC match play runner-up. Class act on his day. Worth chancing at the price this week.
I was listening to a podcast with Paul McGinley. And he was saying about the Ryder Cup prep with Victor Dubuisson. And they were saying you just had to handle him completely different to everyone else. They almost just let him do what he wanted. He didn't really speak to the team. And then when the Ryder Cup came, he was on it. And it was just like, it was the perfect example of you just can't treat golfers the same because, you know, they are people at the end of the day, aren't they? And people react differently to their surroundings. An intriguing character and a selection for Steve Palmer in the Portugal Masters. What's that, four? I've lost count. Is that three or four?
That's four. Yeah, that's four.
That's four. What's the last?
The last one is Pablo Larrazabal. At 70-1. These last three selections are all 70-1. I'm not just picking Larrazabal because I enjoy saying his name so much. We had a bit of fun with that last time. I can't slip into my Spanish tongue this week, such as my issues. But we're on Larrazabal for proper reasons. He missed the cut when we were on him in the Mallorca Open. But there were good excuses for that missed cut. He was on the wrong side of a significant draw bias over the first 2 days that I've been moaning about at the start. And he woke up on the Thursday with an upset stomach. He was debating whether to even play, never mind keeping control of his golf game. He was struggling to keep control of his balls. And on the second hole of the day, bearing in mind he's dealing with that condition, on the second hole of the day, he was so unlucky. His second shot to the par five second landed 25 yards from the flag. But it was in a patch of really heavy rough. You know, that course had some really wild places. Mm. And they couldn't find his ball. So
really?
You don't get long to look these days. Yeah, they changed the rules.
No.
You don't get long to look.
And, it's really the tour pros lose golf balls, though, because there's just usually so many people about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 25 yards from the hole. Could be chipping in for eagle if they found it. Obviously, the lie was going to be terrible, and he probably would have only made a par or something. But he ended up having to walk back to the fairway and have another crack from 250 yards. Double bogey 7. Two over par through two holes on an easy course, feeling really unwell. So he was doomed from that moment on. Ignore Mallorca Open. Prior to that, Pablo Larrazabal was in good nick. He was 20th in the Spanish Open, 20th at Valderrama. He's had three top 15s at the Don Pedro. So, as long as he doesn't eat a dodgy paella on the Wednesday night again, I would imagine that it was a dodgy paella that was to blame. I think he'll contend this week.
Excellent. Well, there we go. I think there's something quite nice about the Don Pedro. There's authority about that, isn't there?
Yeah, the Don Pedro Victoria. Yeah, so it's a real mouthful, isn't it? Yeah, we've got a lot of mouthfuls this week, haven't we? The PGA Tour event, they've got to work on that name. But
let's recap your bets then, Steve. We've got the Worldwide Technology Championship at Mayakoba. Three selections there. Remind us of the three.
Abraham Ansah, Billy Horschel, Keegan Bradley.
And in the Portugal Masters,
Minwoo Lee, Adrian Nuss, Romain Langasque, Victor Dubuisson, Pablo Larrazabal.
You've peaked at just the right time, Steve. There we go. What's coming up this week for you then? What's on the radar? No FA Cup action, I hope.
No. Out of the FA Cup. No. It's been a good response in the league, though. 7 points. 7 points from 3 games in the league.
Beat Kings Lynn, didn't you, at the weekend?
Yeah, moved out the the relegation zone. I mean, how are Norwich getting on? Are they moved out of the relegation zone?
Let's not talk about that, Steve. The less said, the better on that.
No. We've all got our challenges, haven't we? But yeah, Norwich City fans have got a lot of challenges. I just want to get healthy, Jack. I seem to be ill every time I come on the sweet spot now. That's my target for this week. Yeah.
Good. Steve, pleasure as always.
How much are you supposed to have of this stuff?
Yeah, I think maybe go easy on that over the next few hours and maybe read the instructions.
Non-drowsy, thank goodness.
Good. Thanks to everyone for watching. As always, we really appreciate your support on the Sweet Spot. Bruce Millington will be back next week. Until then, please do remember to gamble responsibly. We've put up a lot of selections here on the Sweet Spot today. Please feel free to bypass some if you feel the need and only ever gamble with money you can afford to lose. We'll be back next week for another episode of The Sweet Spot. Stay safe. Bye-bye.